Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I have a painting of this moment in my house, the road to Emmaus. Truth be told, it is not my favorite painting, by which I mean it is not my wife's favorite painting. But it does intend to capture one of my favorite moments. And for that, I love it. When I had purchased this painting and hung it in my house, I had foreseen moments of standing in front of it with my daughters or maybe with house guests, and I would wax all at once artistic and theological. Those days have not yet arrived. To rectify that terrible injustice, I have considered marching my family in front of that painting, rooting their feet firmly on the ground, and then questioning them with questions like this: Do you not understand? Does the road to Emmaus not move you? But that seems so far against the spirit of the thing that I have not done that. I have wondered maybe if a series of paintings would do the trick. Maybe it is that Luke 24 is just too enormous of a thing to be captured in one moment, too rich to be frozen in one canvas. And since I have wondered that, I would ask that you would wonder it for a few minutes with me as well. Here are a series of masterpieces that St. Luke did not paint, but could have. The first one would be like the painting I have in my house. Just two solitary figures pressed into the right-hand corner of the canvas. You can barely see them. They are just smudges against a grand and chaotic sky. The path behind them is long, and although there is light, it does not seem to shine on them. You cannot see their faces. You cannot see their tears. All you can see is their posture and the weight that drags them down. Because they are walking off the edge of the canvas, it seems a terrifying thing to walk into the unknown. And because of that, you fear for them and sense their fear. This painting is so heavy that the nail barely holds it to the wall. Every single heavy brushstroke pushes them further and further, painting them literally into the corner of the canvas with nowhere to go but off. There they walk, those two, into the unknown. The second canvas is a little bit different. It is darker now, but it is also clearer. There is a third man walking with them, and now we are up close. You are seeing them from over his shoulder, and what you know, they do not know, that the third person is Jesus. Oftentimes, when artists depict moments like these, where one person is speaking and the others are listening, the speaker has a thousand-yard stare out into the distance, and the others look intently at him. But that's not how it actually happens in real life, not most of the time, and not how Luke would depict it here. You see, most of life's life-changing conversations happen when you are standing next to one another, washing dishes, working side by side, staring together out the windshield. You see, it is a terribly difficult thing to look inside when you are looking at someone's eyes. So Jesus might be looking at them, but they are not looking at him. Their eyes wander as they wonder. And in the first canvas, you might have ached for them, but now you might ache to be next to them. To hear Jesus as he unfolds the scriptures, as he says, it was said before, like I said before, that the Son of Man must suffer And that what you mistook for shame is something oh so much closer to glory. You see, the voyage home is meant to be one of life's most comforting journeys, but it is not with a broken heart. With a broken heart, every step is agony. You feel like you're walking toward a cliff blindfolded. And that's how they felt in that first canvas. But in this second canvas, things are becoming clearer. Their surroundings, which a few moments ago seemed so chaotic, are coming into view. Their future, so unsure, is now becoming clearer. And there's room, you know. There's room for you in this canvas. Room for you to huddle up close to Jesus, to listen to him as he speaks about suffering, about his suffering. Teachers call them light bulb moments. They happen sometimes. When all of a sudden an idea clicks with a student and their eyes glaze over because they are seeing an idea, their breath quickens, their posture improves. And suddenly what was once a mystery a few moments ago is now something you can hold in your hand, something you can taste on your tongue. Can you see them, these three, as they walk the road to Emmaus? Speaking of seeing, the next canvas would be a sight to behold. In the last canvas, their faces came into view. Now we can see them and the face of Jesus clearly. There he sits at the table. A few moments ago, he was unexpected walking guest, then unplanned house guest. Now he is the host of the meal. Bread has been served, wine has been poured, and now they do, those two, look at Jesus, one on his right and one on his left, and they are leaning in with anticipation, maybe ready to stand or ready to kneel. And Jesus lifts hands up to the sky and speaks to his Father a blessing and a prayer. And bread is broken. How do you picture, I wonder, hope? How do you paint urgency? They left that table, as maybe you have left that table, with broken hearts healed, with shattered dreams pieced back together. And when they left that table, they burst onto this fourth canvas. Maybe it should be the same setting as the first one, but different disciples. I mean, the same people, but they are radically different now. Their steps are lighter. Each moment is no longer a burden. There is a flurry of robes now. You can see their faces, and it is now tears of joy that run well-worn paths down their faces. And they are eager to get back to their brothers to announce what they have heard. It is the painting, it is the moment of joy. For my daughters, for all who would come to my house and see my painting, here's what I would hope. That though they might not understand everything now, that they would one day see clearly, and that they would remember how their hearts burned within them when they heard Jesus speak, that they would know him in the breaking of the bread, and that they would leave that table with holy purpose, ready to offer themselves as broken bread to this hungry, hungry world, and with the word of praise ready to burst from their lips. Alleluia, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia. Please stand.